Welcome to the Freedom Friends Show, where we introduce you to all of the different techniques that you can take in order to make more freedom friends. Those who either help you get clients, support you with your clients, or those who just simply help you achieve some level of freedom in your life or business.
I'm doing pretty awesome. I'm pretty good. That's what I love to hear. Yes, I'm glad you were able to join me. I wasn't sure if you'd gotten the reminder emails.
Oh, yeah, I got them. And then I was like, oh, Zoom. Do I need some lip gloss? I'm glad this is audio only.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So thank you for allowing me to interview you on the podcast. I'm really kind of freaking stoked about it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started. Let's kick it off with who you are and where you're from. I know you as Dr. Nadia. Of course, we met, I think, online first. I was watching a presentation for a business conference, and something you said about sales, it kind of struck a chord because something you said resonated with a feeling that I felt like literally the night before. And so I know I reached out to you and I was like, hey, you're in the area. Can we have coffee or something?
Yes.
And so we met from there.
Yes, we did.
And so, you know, I found out that you're like this awesome sales coach and women's leadership entrepreneur. But I want to hear, what do you say about yourself in your own words?
Love it. Well, for those that don't know me, I'm Dr. Nadia Brown. I'm founder of Doyen Leadership Institute. And Doyen means standout woman leader. So definitely all about helping women own their power and really step into that authority. And I want to say the presentation where we were first introduced through the internet was just talking about rejection and that fear around being rejected and how that comes up for us, whether we're in corporate or even in sales when we're in business. A lot of times when I talk to women, that's the biggest fear that comes up that gets in their way of them being able to really pursue sales the way they want to, is that fear of rejection. And so we talk about that and discuss strategies and ways to move around that.
Yes. So first off, what language is Doyen? What language is that in?
Doyen is French. Okay. It is a real word. So I tell people that all the time. It's a real word. And yet it's starting to be used a lot more even here in the U.S. So
really?
It's cool.
Okay, awesome. So my next question was, how did you get into sales training? I mean, I think it's definitely something that's needed, but we don't see many women out here showing us sales, which I think is awesome.
You know, honestly, very reluctantly. I was very reluctant to go into sales training. It was not my idea. But being an entrepreneur, and when I launched my business, I had a corporate career. I did a lot of things in corporate, but one thing that I didn't do was I did not have a formal sales position. So I didn't have that training, and so I knew what it was like firsthand to start a business, be very passionate about what it is you're pursuing, your audience, your target market that you want to serve, and then just feel stuck financially. And then I'm one of those folks, I have big dreams. So, you know, I'm like, I want to have a $1 billion enterprise. And it's like, well, honey, you have to get really good at sales. And so I finally had to have that talk with myself in the mirror, right? You know, after just up and down and not having that consistency, having some months that were really, 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 really good and some months that were just a hot mess, and just really getting to a point in my business where I was like, okay, so something has to change. I'm not even going to be able to have a business, much less achieve the goals that I want to achieve. And so I made a commitment to myself and to one of my former coaches at that time. And I just told her, you know what? I'm going to spend the next at least minimum year of just focusing on sales. And took a lot of different trainings, worked with a number of different coaches on that specific area. And then I actually started working with Shay Brown, the sales cardiologist. Yeah, things just changed. And I just made that commitment to him. I remember I called him one day. I said, I am going to be your number one student. And I meant it. And I was very serious about that. But, you know, and it's been being willing to put in the work, to be uncomfortable, to put in the hours of studying and watching videos and reading books and having conversations and getting feedback. I think that's the hardest thing is, you know, you have a conversation and it's already bad enough, you know, when you don't get the deal. So you're already kind of bummed. And then to have someone kind of pick apart the conversation, like, well, you could have said this or what about, and it's like, ugh. But just being really open to that, even when it was so uncomfortable. And there were days when I really did not like him at all. But I just kept going. And so, and then eventually I started to see the turnaround. And I'm naturally, I love teaching. Mm-hmm. And so I talked to him and Trevor, and they were like, have you considered this? And I was like, no, I don't think I want to do that. I'm a leadership trainer. This is great, you know, but my passion and my heart for teaching and training really came through. And then just having conversations with women and being on a call or even in person and having women just break down in tears. And it's like, okay, Nadia, you know all too well what this feels like. And so I just thought it would be kind of selfish on my part if I didn't go out and help people. So, right?
Wow. So that's awesome. That's an amazing story. Thank you. How long ago was that? You said you decided that you would put a year in.
Yep. That was 2 years ago.
Wow.
2 years ago. And it's just amazing. It's an amazing testimony to what can happen and how quickly things can turn around when you put your mind to it. So there was a lot of stuff that Nadia had to deal with, and I think, you know, one of the things that we really have to look at is just sometimes the shame and the guilt when we mess it up, you know, because I was coming from a place where I really screwed some stuff up. And things, you know, didn't look the way I wanted them to look in my business. I was not, those were not the days when I wanted to whip open my books and say, here, look at, you know, what I've accomplished. No, it was truly a hot mess. And to just be okay with it and just, you know, to get to that point where you do have the option to go in a corner and cry and just be a hot mess. And if you need to do that, I'm not against crying. But you also have the opportunity to get back out there and turn things around. And so that truly is a testament to that. And just, you know, doing what it took to get the support I needed and I desired. And I just got back in there. And I met Shay and Trevor at an event. We were all speaking, had no idea that the type of relationship that we would end up developing would even take place. And so I hired them to do some other stuff for my business. And then, you know, I was still committed to that sales thing. So when Shay called me and even made an offer, that I didn't even know that was an option, honestly, outside of some of the programs that he offered. And at first, honestly, my response was no. I was thinking in the back of my, I didn't say it, but I was like, no, I don't want to do that. And I remember, oh, wait a second. You haven't necessarily arrived. You know, I had worked with someone else and taken some other training courses. So I was a lot further along than where I was, but I didn't feel like I'd arrived. And so I was like, what can it hurt? And man, I'm so glad I said yes, because it was just that next step that I needed to show me. And I don't think it was about anyone else. It was about me showing me that I had what it took, and that no matter what happens in my business, if I ever get back to that place, mm-hmm. I know what I need to do and what I'm capable of doing in order to turn it around.
Awesome. I love that. So I have a question, because you mentioned that it was hard and I'm assuming you shed some tears.
Just a few.
What was the motivating factor for you during that year commitment to yourself that caused you not to just say, you know what, I'm going to do something. I want to do something different.
I think the big thing was I ask myself this question, and it's something that I'll throw out a lot of times when I speak or when I train, and that is this: how many people are suffering because you are not doing what you're supposed to be doing?
Wow.
And that really helped me, because I had to constantly remind myself that, Nadia, this is not about you. It's not about me. It's about those people out there who I may never work with, who are just watching me, who the fact that I left a good corporate job and took this leap of faith, the fact that I fought through all the mistakes, the highs, the lows, the doubts, the fears, like pushed past all of that. And that gave them the courage to take a step and move forward towards the living out their dream. And that's what keeps me going. So on those days when it's hard and I don't feel like it, and I don't want to do it, I want to have a temper tantrum like one of my nieces or nephews or whatever. Or, you know, even those times when it's just like, you know, things just don't work out. And you know what it's like when you have your heart set on something, it just doesn't pan out. You're just so disappointed. But it's just like, you know what? Get up, pull yourself together. It's not about you. And get back out there and serve, because that's what it's about.
I love it. You mentioned leaving your job, your good job. Let me clarify.
I did, girl. Yes. I tell people all the time, there were at least two times a month that I was quite happy. I was paid well. I had a great job. It's just that thing when you just know. And I remember, because it took me a while to own it, I was like, there's just something not right about how I feel. That voice, that small voice, a lot of times it doesn't start out as a booming voice. Sometimes it is, but, you know, typically it's a small one. And I just remember, like, why? I remember asking my husband, we weren't married at the time, but we were dating. And I was just like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I just go to work like everybody else and be happy and satisfied and okay? You know, I was always pushing for more. And it just got to the point where, yeah, it was bad. That last one was pretty bad. And it was good. It was bad and it was good. And it was bad in that I had the B in Cubicle 3. Her name is lovingly, her real name is Beverly. For those who are like, the B, Dr. Nadia, that's so rude. Her name is Beverly, for real. And we just did not get along. We were like oil and water almost from the beginning, which is very interesting, seeing as she's the person who interviewed me. But she just, that constant tension at work, it almost felt like every time I felt like we were at a good place and I could come to work and get comfortable, if you will, and just do my job in peace. That's the one thing I wanted, was just to be able to come to work and do my job in peace. And it just wasn't happening. There would be something that would just happen and she and I would just be at each other's throats or whatever the case may be. But she figured it out. I didn't belong. And she made it her personal mission to make sure that that was the case. But it also caused me to take a deeper look. And so I had many conversations with my husband. I ended up hiring a coach to just kind of help me navigate, like, what am I going to do? What does this look like? Will I be able to survive? And just coming up with a strategy. And, but you know, you just have to have that fear. You're not that fear. You have to have that conviction and be able to take that leap. So I left even before I felt that I was ready, even before my husband felt that I was ready. So that made for an interesting conversation. But I just took that leap and there I was, you know. And so I think there are times when you don't have that safety net, you figure some things out quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of leap did you make? Did you walk off the job, or did you at least give them 2 weeks notice, Dr. Dunn?
I gave notice to them. my husband and that was a different conversation, but I did get to notice. I didn't do that. I didn't walk off. The girl, there were days, there was one day I left, I was like, I ain't coming back. I'm just never going back.
I
gave my 2 weeks. Those 2 weeks are probably the most peaceful weeks I had at that job, but it was all good.
I love it. So let's switch gears a little bit. I'm curious about your business itself. I'm beginning to talk a little bit more about outsourcing as a way to relieve some of the stress.
Yes.
That business owners we often have. And just as a way to kind of start taking some things off of our plates. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Oh my gosh. It's so funny that you mentioned that. I just did I was a keynote at a retreat this past weekend, and my topic was take off your cape. And yeah, and the question I asked was this: are you willing to receive support? Because I find that many times we know we need help, right? Because no one knows better than us just how tired we are in our business. And there's so many reasons why we don't get the support. We don't know who to hire. We don't want to make a mistake and hire. We don't feel like we can afford it, whatever the case may be. But just being willing to receive support. And that was a question that honestly, one of my coaches said recently asked, and it was just one of those, gut punchers, like, that just kind of hurt, get off my toes kind of questions. But I think that that's where it starts. It starts with just being willing. You don't have to have all the answers, but you cannot get the support you need in your business until you're willing to receive it. And then the other piece to that is just like you said, there's so many times when we're building this business, we're building this vision, as many of us start at a place where we don't necessarily have that bank account started out to be able to bring on a lot of support. So there are a lot of things we do in our businesses ourselves from sheer necessity. But then also just being open to the idea of bringing in someone and just how simple it be. So I encourage my clients to take baby steps all the time. Like, just start, even if you just hire a virtual assistant for a couple hours a month, just start there to take some of the stuff off your plate. And a question that really helps, there were two exercises, honestly, that really helped me to keep that in perspective, because this is something I have to preach to myself all the time. So, I haven't arrived, even though I do have support. But one was just adding a dollar amount to what it is, your hours. So if you have an hourly rate or speakers or whatever the case may be, just understand the value of your time. And so it really makes it easier for you to say, am I the best person to do this? Because while I can do it, it doesn't make sense necessarily for me to do it. Right. And one of the questions I asked, when Steve Jobs was still living, if you were to see Steve at Kinko's picking up coffee at the copy machine, stapling stuff, most people look at me with this dumbfounded look like that would never happen. But you're the CEO of your business. Why are you doing all of these things? If it's not right for Steve, why is it right for you? And letting go of the guilt around getting support, whether it's in your business or even in your home, because a lot of women, we still maintain homes and take care of children and do all types of things. And so maybe your support might look more like hiring a housekeeper, because everybody loves clean toilets, but does the toilet have to be cleaned by you?
Right.
And so just being open to that. And I think there's a lot of guilt, especially amongst us Black women. Now, we carry some stuff around, and we were raised, the way many of us were raised, because that's just the way it was. And many of us may not have come from a place of privilege, if you will, to be able to bring housekeepers in. But it's time to move past that. So those are, it's just really time to move past a lot of that. And, just understanding the season. So I just, that's something I really, really try to push home with folks, because it just you can't give from an empty cup. And when you're trying to clean the house and cook the dinner and walk the dog and keep your husband happy and take the kids to soccer practice and run a business, where what gives? And so just being willing to receive support, because a lot of times it's not even about money. Sometimes there are a lot of us have people in our lives who would be more than willing to do stuff for us out of the sheer kindness of their hearts, and we will not allow them to support us.
Mm. That's deep. And you're right. Yeah, I love that you mentioned that, because so I talk a little bit about Freedom Friends and what that means. And it's really, you're right. I mean, it's huge, just about us allowing people to support us. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, you mentioned your coaches, which is a big deal. You mentioned hiring support, which is also a big deal. Right. These are all the types of support and the types of, I like to call them, friends that we have that, you know, free us from certain things.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about your peers and how you are able to stay motivated or receive motivation and support in that way?
Oh my gosh, yes. I can honestly say that I don't believe I would be where I am and as far along as I am if it weren't for my peers. I am a firm believer in being in a mastermind group. I don't care how you get there, whether it's a high-end mastermind or you pull something together, I don't care. Just having that support system. And one of the biggest things that my support system, particularly my peers, have provided is that constant reminder that you're not crazy for dreaming as big as you dream and being willing to go for it. And then some more practical, tangible ways are just being there to promote, you know, like if you're having an event, how many of us host events that we're doing things, whether it's a paid event or a free event, and we're trying to build our, you know, build our list or extend our reach. And we just don't think sometimes to even reach out to our peers and say, hey, would you be willing to share this on social media? Would you be willing to send out this email to your list? You know, and that I think is one of the most overlooked resources that we have. And because most of my peers, I've never had one of my peers just flat out say no. Never. Now, have I waited to the last minute and it didn't quite fit because there was a conflict with maybe something that they were doing? Yes. But for them to just be like, absolutely not, Nadia, I don't believe in anything that you're doing and I'm not going to do it. No. And so, you know, give yourself time, but I think that that's one of the most overlooked ways to really grow our businesses, but also to just leverage support is by reaching out to our peers or having someone to just vent to or, you know, talk to or bounce ideas off of. One of my peers, and she's the former coach, Stella Orange, always tells us, you know, like even with coming down to writing web copy, you know, if you don't have a copywriter on your team and you're writing copy or writing emails or things like that or blog posts, she's just like, friends don't let friends write alone. Mm. Because just having someone there to bounce ideas off of, how does this sound versus this? And, you know, just having another human versus making all these decisions about your business and your marketing and your branding by yourself, alone in your office and just being in your own head. So I think there's just so many different ways that our peers are there to support us. And like I said, majority of my peers have been more than willing. I've had them really push me a lot of times. There are things I kind of threw out there, you know, half-heartedly, and they've come back and like, no, you're not only are you going to do this, but I'm going to be the one to hold you accountable and push you to do this. Because I'm seeing things in you that you don't even see right now. Mm.
That's awesome. Wow.
But that's the beauty of having Freedom Friends, I think, is that they do push you to that next level. And I don't know anyone who doesn't have that, you know? So I think so often we get used to just being lone rangers, mm-hmm. and going at it by ourselves that, you know, we kind of lose almost the ability to make friends. We forget about it and we lose the ability. I think, you know, it's kind of one of those use it or lose it type things.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I think too, sometimes we as women, I don't necessarily see this as much with men because I looked at some of my male peers. Like, I don't even know how y'all do that. I think I'm pretty open-minded, but they just really get it. They get the ability to put aside even their differences. So even if they personally don't like someone, they have the ability to push that to the side for the sake of business and the greater good and moving forward with their mission. And I think we as women sometimes allow whatever, and we really do fall right into that stereotype of women can't get along, and we're just catty, and we just want to fight. And I know so many women that don't fit that stereotype, but I think that if we're not careful, we perpetuate those stereotypes when we don't, or when we refuse to ask for help because we allow, you know, those fears to come up instead of just saying, you know what, I need help. And asking for help isn't a sign of weakness, and we just have to get over that.
Yeah. And so let me ask you this. Do you think, because I hear that women are catty, and it's so funny because I don't experience that. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know, tell me what you think about this. I feel like because we hear that so much, we mm-hmm. kind of are a little bit standoffish toward each other to see mm-hmm. if, you know, what if you fall into that, yep. into that group. So it's almost like, I don't know if we're really that way or if we just heard so much that we're that way.
Yeah,
that way we don't really know, so it's kind of like I'm not sure about you.
Right. Exactly. And then, you know, I agree. I think that, are there some catty women out there? Yes. Are there some catty men out there? Yes. Yeah. Overwhelmingly. Let's just be clear. But I agree. I feel like, you know, for me, in the years that I've been in business, I've met far more women who do not fit that stereotype, who are just so excited to support other women and in any way that they can, and to see them be successful. But you're right. We hear it so much that we almost kind of go looking for it. That's kind of an expectation. And well, you know, you focus on growth. So kind of like that self-fulfilling prophecy, but yeah.
Yes. So what's next for you, Dr. Nadia? I know you always on the move. Every time I see your Facebook or look at something with you posting, you somewhere else.
Oh, there's so much going on right now. Let's see, what do I want to share? Well, I'll let this cat out the bag. I am hosting an event called Take the Leap. It's something that people have requested of me, and I'm finally acquiescing. And it's for women who are in corporate. They have regular jobs, and they have that voice, that inkling, that wonder of, should I, could I take that leap in order to start my own business? Mm. And so the answer to that question is yes. And, you know, my desire is to show them how to do that and how to do it in such a way where it's not nearly as bumpy and rocky as my leap was, and that they can achieve that level of success that they desire.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome. So where do we find more information about that?
You find more information at taketheleapevent.com.
Okay, excellent. And so for those who may not be able to attend, where else can we find you?
Great question. You can find me at doyenleadership.com. That's DOYENNE leadership.com. And check the events tab. I'm always hosting, doing different events. We have leadership retreats, different training events, different webinars. So yeah, check that events tab, and we keep it updated so that you always know how to connect with us and get more information on what Dr. Nadia is in the lab cooking up.
That's right. Well, thank you, Dr. Nadia. I certainly appreciate you coming on to the Freedom Friends Show. It has been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, absolutely. And for everyone who's listening, of course, as always, remember, freedom requires friends. So please go out there and get you some. Talk to y'all later.